G'day folks, welcome to another episode of the Snowy's Camping Show, joined as usual by myself and Lauren. As we cover the boring bits first, I had a momentary blank there, but please subscribe via YouTube, your favourite podcast app, or join in on the conversation at the Snowy's Facebook group, which may have a name change by the time this goes live, but just look it up, Snowy's, in the Facebook group and you should be able to find it. Now, today we have a resident caravan expert with many years of caravan manufacturing experience and knowledge on the line today. So Kevin is joining us. How are you today, Kev?
I'm fine. Thank you, Ben. And Lauren, how are you two going?
Yeah, pretty good.
I'm well. Yep.
It's very hot.
It is.
Adelaide at the moment.
Well, I think we've peaked. As we speak, I think the temperature's peaking and we're going down to cooler temperatures.
Yeah, it will be cooler tomorrow. I think we had 39 yesterday, 38 today.
Mm.
It's like 23 tomorrow. I was like, oh, riding my bike. Weather. Be yep. Great.
Nice.
Mm. Yes, strange weather. Tons of rain in Queensland at the moment too, which is not good for the Murray River flooding. But anyway, we're digressing. Tangent already. Today, Kev, we've got you here off the back of some questions that came from an episode we did recently, episode 83.
Yep.
On the new LCC 27
transition
gas valve fittings on gas bottles. And lots of people jumped in and asked questions and things that I wasn't aware of on caravan specific.
Yeah, gas people were specifically items. Asking for caravan stop info, yeah. Weren't they?
Mm. Yeah. So we thought, we'll ask Kev. So Kev's walked in. I saw him walk in with a big page of notes. So I'm sure he's armed with a heap of answers from, your wealth of knowledge on caravan gas systems, just caravan gas systems in general. So, Kev, let's kick off.
The basics first.
The very basics on how a caravan system is
gas
set
system,
up.
Yeah.
Or a gas system, not a caravan system. A caravan gas system is set up.
Okay, well, a gas system in a caravan is basically a low-pressure system. So you'll have your gas bottles stored generally on the front of the caravan somewhere. Be a regulator attached to those bottles to reduce the pressure, and then there'll be numerous junctions going off to each of the appliances in the caravan. So it's all low pressure, whereas some camping stoves will be high pressure. There's no regulator, but they do that just so they can keep things under control in the van. So your fridge, your stove, and any heaters you might have that run a gas, they're all low pressure. And that's basically it. It runs on a propane gas. People call LPG as a common term, and they're all LPGs, liquid petroleum gases. But propane is the gas that's used in caravans, whereas you'll find butane is used primarily in camping stoves, small portable camping stoves where you have a canister. Of course, you can also use isobutane, which is pretty much restricted to hiking. But in a caravan, it's all propane, and even though it's called LPG, it's still the same sort of stuff. But, yeah, that's your basic system. That's how it's set up.
I've learned something new already. I always thought it was liquid propane gas.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Because I was wrong.
I believe it's liquid petroleum gas because it's all
I'm sure it is, Kevin.
That's what I've heard.
I would 100% believe you, but so, I'm just like, oh.
So you say low pressure. And now the difference for those who don't understand a low pressure and a high pressure, like a high pressure system comes straight from the gas bottle and into the appliance. A low
That's
pressure
correct.
System
yes.
goes from the gas bottle through a regulator, which drops the pressure of the gas coming out of the cylinder, and then it's low pressure on the other side of the regulator. That's
correct. Yeah,
you That's say that they do that to keep things under, it's easier to control or it's safer? Like why a low pressure system?
It's probably a safety issue. You can imagine if you get a gas leak under high pressure, inside a caravan, you're going to have gas streaming out extremely fast.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's in a low pressure system, you would probably be able to smell it first and then react to it before you've got this massive amount of gas coming pouring into your caravan. Sorry. So, keeping it under a low pressure, it also enables you to have multiple systems like your stove, your fridge, all connected together. Of course, the regulator will account for that, will allow the same amount of flow going to each appliance. Whereas under a high pressure, if you've got some items are low pressure, some items are high pressure, it just gets very confusing. So they've just made it as a low pressure system. And it's been like that for centuries, I suppose, as long as caravans been out and around, they've been low pressure. And I think it's just a much easier and safer way to keep the system operating in a caravan. And a lot of barbecues, as you probably know, have regulators on them too. So it's just a safer way to feed the gas into the appliance, I think.
And the regulator being that little flying disc-looking thing that's usually attached right near the gas bottle.
Yep. Yes, and these days you'll find there's two discs on them. There's actually a two-stage regulators. Whereas some of the older bands had a single-stage regulator. I think the two-stage is better. It breaks it down into two separate stages, I suppose. Takes from high pressure, reduces it down, and then reduces it down a little bit more to a more safe level. I don't know the science behind that, but that's why some of the regulators have two discs, a large one and a small one. Some of the older ones will have just one disc. You can still use the old regulators. They're still quite safe to use. But, yeah, the modern ones have a two-stage regulator on them now.
So generally if you're buying a caravan or a camper, will that come with the stove and the cooker, like are the gas appliances included? Like I think a lot of caravans and campers have an inbuilt or a pull-out kitchen and stove, don't they? Like it's not – I wouldn't have thought it would be common to buy a caravan or a camper with a regulated system and then you have to go and find a stove for yourself.
No, I think that you'll find anything that comes with a stove or any sort of gas appliance built in, I think you'll find it'll be a low-pressure system. I know some of the camper trailers you buy, they'll have a pull-out kitchen or slide-out kitchen at the back, and you can then fit whatever stove you want to, but it'll be a portable stove. It'll be something that you would buy off the shelf and just carry separately. You can sit that on a little platform and attach your gas bottle to that. Now, that may or may not be a high or low pressure. That depends on what you want and what you get. But anything that's built in that comes part of the system with gas bottles attached to the van and pipe and plumbing fitted, I pretty much guarantee that will all be a low pressure system.
Mm-hmm. So I've got some questions on that. The external fittings, there's quite a lot of questions off the previous episode on the bayonet fittings on the outside. So we'll cover off on that on the next question. But I just want to take a small step back with how a caravan system is set up. You talked about how gas comes into the caravan, but there's another important element to the setup of gas in a caravan, and that's through the safety and ventilation that is integrated into the caravan to make sure that those appliances are used safely. And I asked this question probably with people who bought an old caravan in mind and might see vents and think, oh, I'll just block that up or I won't use it. Can you just cover off on the importance of ventilation, what people need to look out for ventilation and why it's there?
Well, ventilation is very important, really. There's two factors to this. First of all, well, the current regulations now require you to have a certain amount of ventilation fitted to your van, depending on what appliances you have and what size your caravan is. They have some sort of equation they work out. I don't know what that is, but this is what I've been told by a gas fitter. And they have to look at what you've got and how much space there is in your van and how, if there is a gas leak, how is it going to be vented to the outside? And that's the important thing, to get it out. Now, if you look at some of the vans, they have little tiny vents, but they might have a flue to get rid of not only the gas, but also the carbon monoxide. You've got to remember that gas in an enclosed space gives off carbon monoxide, which, although the gas itself is not toxic, it is not oxygen. You cannot breathe it and survive. And there have been cases, unfortunately, where people have died. I don't know if it's in caravans, but in an enclosed space in a room or a cabin or something, they've closed it all up because it's been cold and they've had a fire going. And unfortunately, they've never woken up. So it's very important not only to get rid of any possible gas leaks, but also to allow fresh air to come into the van so that you have got good ventilation, even though it might be a bit cool on some nights. You know, the vents are open and there's a breeze that's coming in, but that's there for your safety. And it's important not to close those vents up, particularly when you're actually using the appliances inside. I know some people have taped up their vents when they're driving to stop dust from coming in, but yeah, that's very risky. You must have those vents open when you're using the appliances.
Right. And
just to preface, you did mention there, Kevin, that some people use the gas appliances inside, which is obviously common sense, but you don't use gas appliances inside your caravan unless they're physically
designed for it
and come with the caravan itself.
Yes. There are caravan appliances, and then there's, as you probably know, there are appliances for outdoor use. Outdoor use is not such a big thing because any leaks or carbon monoxide is, you know, released to the atmosphere. But in a van, of course, it is contained, and that's where the danger comes in, and that's where the ventilation is important. And I have seen, I can talk about it later, an explosion that occurred in the caravan while I was working. I didn't actually see it happen, but I saw the aftermath, and it was quite unusual. The people survived okay, but it's, when you look at the van, it's quite unusual, and I'll explain that at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's keep
that to the end. It is a volatile product. It can be very safe to use, but if not used correctly and not vented correctly, it can be very dangerous.
So what are the safety mechanisms? Let me take a step back. So people might look at two gas stoves, one that's designed for use inside in a caravan and one that's just designed for camping, and they kind of go, well, apart from the fact that that one looks like it's supposed to be installed in a cavity in a caravan, it otherwise looks the same as this camping one. So what are the safety features that are built into not just the cooker, but a fridge or any internal gas appliance?
Internal caravan gas appliance, yeah.
What is required in those appliances for them to be different for an internal versus external kind of use appliance? Does that make sense?
Well, yes. The main thing is that there is a flame failure device, which is the proper term is a thermocoupling. That's the part, and it's a small little thing like a matchstick that sits right in the flame direction of the flame on the burners. Now that might be a little pilot light on your stove, or it might be the cooker stove. It could be anywhere. There is this flame failure device, and that is designed specifically so that if the fire goes out, if the flame is blown out, and the gas still flows, it will shut the valve off. Now, this is obvious because in most cases, when you light up your stove or your heater in the caravan, you push the knob in and you turn it to ignite it, but then you have to hold it for like 10 or 15 seconds. Now, that means that the thermocoupling, which is in the flame, was heating up and will then override the control knob and hold that valve open. Right. So it will then continue to work. So if the flame goes out, and it only takes about 10 seconds, the thermocoupling will react to that, will cool down very quickly, and will close that valve off so that you can't accidentally have gas blowing without you being aware of it, because the wind has blown, you know, may have opened the door and a big gust of wind come in and blew the stove out, and you don't know because you're
you've just got a pot of water on to boil while you're off doing some other activities. Yeah,
and of course you come in and you think, oh, the flames go out, so you've hit the igniter again. Well, you've just got, you know, a great pile of gas has come through and it's sitting all on the top of your stove, and suddenly there's this huge flash and your pot flies up through the air. So it doesn't take much. I've seen a fridge jump. In fact, I did it myself. A fridge jumped out at me. I wasn't aware there was a gas leak at the back, and I went to ignite it, and the fridge jumped forward about 2 inches towards me.
Wow.
With the flash. And everyone heard it and came running, and I was out of the van like a light. I thought, my God, what's going on? So, and then we realized that one of the pipes had actually cracked. I wasn't aware of this. And of course, they were saying the fridge isn't working, so that I'll give this a try. Couldn't smell gas, and yeah, that's what happened. So it can happen very easily.
Yeah, wow. And you couldn't smell the gas, so obviously it's a very minor leak.
It was still minor.
Still has the potential to do that.
Yeah, wow.
Well, it was a matter of that I turned the gas bottle on, went inside, bent down, turned the gas knob on and hit the igniter. So it was no more than about 15 seconds.
Whoa.
And there was enough gas there. It didn't ignite straight away, but eventually it did, probably after about 15, 20 seconds, and there was enough gas come out of that leak. It was actually a bigger leak than I thought. And, yes, that fridge jumped out of the cabinet at me. Luckily it wasn't worse than that, but, yes, that's what it did.
Yeah, lucky you didn't wait any
crazy
longer.
Well, luckily didn't blow the side of the caravan out. It was quite a flash.
So this is probably a good segue then, because you mentioned thermocoupler, which is one of the things that come up on the back of the LCC 27 episode that we did, where people were talking about external appliances and thermocouplers. So it sounds like a thermocoupler isn't something that's installed in the caravan system, but it's installed in the appliance itself, which leads us to questions and confusion around what appliances you can use external to a caravan, because we've always had there's two or three stoves, I think, that we've always had that you could attach a bayonet hose to.
We've said that you could, because they're stoves that require low pressure or regulated gas, whereas your generic camping stove, like Kev's mentioned earlier, requires high pressure gas.
Yeah.
So you can't just take a high pressure gas camping stove and connect it to your caravan, even if you have the right fittings, because your caravan's not going to provide enough gas in order for the stove to function.
No, I don't think it'll work properly. I really don't know what would happen, but it would actually be very difficult because I think the fittings on the stove are different between high pressure and low pressure, so you can't accidentally put one onto the other. It just grew on, so and you soon realise you've got the wrong one.
I know that there are sort of, you know, you can get replacement bayonet hoses and stuff to be able to connect to your bayonet system, but my but again, they would only work in a low pressure stove.
Yes, that's
but
correct.
When
yes, yes.
there was the LCC27 change over, we got an email from a couple of the suppliers of gas appliances to say that we were no longer allowed to recommend any of their stoves to be compatible with a bayonet gas system.
Right. That was just
I'm assuming because generally those stoves don't have much to do with LCC27, but I'm assuming that might have to do with the thermocoupler thermocoupler's been a part of that new regulation.
Yeah. The coupling you're talking about, or that the LC27, I think it is, whatever it was, that you're talking about, is a fitting on the gas bottle. It's really got to do with a safety around screwing things to the bottle, and that's what you probably covered in a previous episode.
Yeah.
The fitting of an external cooker, we'll say cooker, meaning barbecue stove, whatever, was the fact that you could buy any outdoor cooker, so it was low pressure, because obviously your caravan is low pressure, that the stove has to also be low pressure, and through a bayonet fitting, attach it to your caravan. So you have a outside barbecue, so to speak. That is, of course, have changed. Now, all appliances fitted to a caravan, either directly or indirectly, i.e. through a bayonet, must have a thermocoupling or flame failure device is what they often refer to. I think this is because, for a start, some caravans supply them with a external cooker, a little slide-out drawer, and out comes the stove or a barbecue, this sort of thing. And because that's attached to the caravan and can be potentially used inside an annex, so once again you've got an enclosed space, then I think that's why they have made the rule that all external devices fitted to a caravan must have these thermocouplings attached. Mm. So anything else that you've had before, I'm sure people are still using them, but they cannot supply them. I don't think manufacturer can supply them anymore. I think they'll find that they'll all have to be a different model or have a thermocoupling attached to the existing models.
I mean, it makes sense, really. If you're just a car camper, you're not going to be setting up your kitchen inside your tent and cooking inside your tent. You're going to be setting it up in a gazebo or, you know, in an annex or a vestibule that generally isn't fully enclosed. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a caravan or a camper trailer, I would have thought statistically you're probably more likely to be wanting to either cook inside or within an enclosed annex.
Mm.
So,
In most cases, yes, you would. But some people do like to cook outside. And I'm afraid my wife and I are one of them. We very rarely cook inside, except unless it's really bad weather. We much rather have a little stove outside. We might have it under an awning or whatever, but we have it on a separate system. We don't have it attached to the caravan. And also, we don't have it in an enclosed space. We don't have a full annex. We only have an awning. So, in that regard, it's probably quite safe to do so. But I think, as I said, it's more the fact that the appliances that are being supplied with the caravan, they have to have that thermocoupling on there. It's just a regulation they've made. They've probably seen potential danger in this, as I said, in an enclosed annex. So they've made it a rule that all devices attached to a caravan must have a thermocoupling on it.
So for people to make themselves legal and upgrade their old system, they need to get a new appliance with a thermocoupler. You can't get something fitted to the caravan. It's the appliance that needs to have the thermocoupler.
Well, it sounds like even if you are using something that isn't, I mean, we get a comment a lot that says, you know, standards aren't laws or whatever. Yeah. Totally get that. Appreciate that. Cool. If you're using an old gas system and it doesn't have a thermocoupler and it isn't in line with safety things, like, that's your choice. You're an adult. You can make that for yourself. But I'm assuming if you were then wanting to, because your stove's died or because your gas appliance has died and you want to get something new, you won't be able to unless it has that flame failure / thermocoupler. But the questions come up a lot in relation to Webers, like baby Qs and stuff like that, because you used to be able to connect them and now you can't. And is that because of the thermo?
Yeah, it is. And I did do a bit of research before this, and I think Weber and Ziggy's and those, I think they're starting to bring out models, or maybe it's a standard. Mm-hmm. You may have heard, Kev, but I think they're bringing out models with that as a standard now, because the baby Weber Q in particular is a big product for the caravan industry.
Yeah, of course.
So it's in their interest to make sure it's got a thermocoupler. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you can actually have one fitted. That's something you'd have to investigate with a company that fits gas appliances, I suppose. Not your caravan repairer, but someone that actually does deal with gas all the time, whether or not you can have a thermocoupler put in. But that means you've not only got to install the device next to the flame, but you've also got to put a different valve in it.
Yeah.
Now, that simply may not be compliant or may not be able to be fitted in an existing model. So at the end of the day, if you want to be compliant, if you want to be safe, then, yes, you'd have to buy a completely new appliance.
All right, so, Kev, I just want to ask a question about LCC 27 fittings. Now, we did cover off on the change and all the details on that in that previous episode that we've mentioned before, but I wanted to ask you about when people might need to consider or if they even need to consider changing the fittings on their caravan, because an existing caravan will have a POL fitting. So even if you get an old or a new valve, POL or LCC 27 valve, your caravan is going to connect to that gas bottle. So by that theory, you should never really need to update the caravan fittings unless some law comes in that says you have to fix it. But can you think of any instance where anyone would need to update or have that fitting on their caravan changed over to the new LCC 27 fitting?
Not really. The only thing you would have to change would be the hose that went from the bottle to the regulator, because obviously your old hose will have a POL fitting. The new hose should have the LCC 27 fitting on it. That's the only thing you should change. The rest of the system, unless you've got damage in it somehow, or it's cracked or something's gone wrong, then there's no need to change anything at all. It's still the same gas, still everything the same. It's just that fitting that goes from the bottle to the regulator that you probably have to change that hose. That's it.
Okay. I guess for new caravans, which should now, I think, have the LCC 27 fitting on it, just make sure you're getting the new cylinders, not the old POL.
I guess it depends on if you're buying one off the showroom floor right now, I don't know how long ago the caravan would have been physically manufactured. Mm-hmm. And it would probably also depend on the stores of gas bottles that manufacturer has in stock.
Yep.
So I'd say maybe – what was I think the total transition was April last year.
There was a few
as
years.
As a total transition for everything had to be done by April last year.
As in manufacturing.
As in nothing manufactured after April last year.
Yep.
So, or 2022 for anyone who might be listening to this in the future. So realistically, a caravan manufacturer should either by now or soon have gone through POL stockpiles of stuff.
Hopefully.
Yes.
There's probably 5 to 10 years of changeover with old things in the system. So
maybe. So let's move on to gas system maintenance and care. What sort of considerations do you have to take as a caravan or camper owner to maintain and care for your gas system? What components of that would be user sort of serviceable or placeable, and what components or when would you have to take it into an actual dealer or service center to get looked at?
Well, really the system is doesn't need much maintenance at all. The only thing I would suggest you do occasionally is perhaps get some soap and water in a little spray bottle and just spray all of the unions, all of the gas joints with the gas bottle turned on and all the appliances turned off. What you're looking for are leaks. Little bubbles may appear. Soapy water will create bubbles very easily, and just give them a good spray. And just don't just spray, look and walk away. Spray it, go away and come back again if it's not immediately obvious, because I've seen, you spray a union and it looks fine. You go around the rest of the van, you spray all those, look fine. You come back, you look at the first union sprayed at and it's covered in foam. It's got such a tiny leak that all these little tiny bubbles start to come out. You don't see it straight away. So spray it on the unions or anywhere that you suspect there might be a crack in the pipe. You might see a bit of stone damage. Spray that. And if there's any bubbles coming out of that, then the pipe is cracked or damaged. If your unions are damaged, you probably could try and tighten them if you can. If that's not working, then it needs to go somewhere professional, and they probably need to look at taking that union off and resealing it properly.
What's okay. a union? Thing. Is that just a,
like a join connection?
Yeah, okay. Join, any join, yeah. T-join, common union, what they call a common union, just a straight parallel joiner to extend the pipe. There are gas taps. Every appliance has its own isolating gas tap. Give that a little bit of a spray. You don't have to saturate your cupboard. Just give it a bit of a spray, make sure it's all covered, and then just leave it sit there for perhaps 30 seconds to a minute, and just look at it carefully. If there's any bubbles forming, you've got a leak. You can't fix that by tightening the nuts. Then it needs to go somewhere it can be fixed properly. Right. Some people might have a go at fixing it themselves, but you've got to remember that the rules these days are that all gas fittings must be serviced by an appropriate licensed person. So that's what I would suggest you do. Take it somewhere where they can look at it, say, oh, look, there might be a crack in there. We'll take it out, put a new pipe in and fix the problem that way.
Awesome. I think we've covered off on all the queries off the back of our last episode.
Yeah, I think so.
I've learned a bit.
Me too. That's cool.
I've got some things I'm going to tell friends that have got a secondhand caravan to say, just listen to this episode before you do that.
Certification, apparently, from what I have read, if you sell a caravan, even though it might be an old one, has a current system, it has to have a current certificate. So if you're selling an old van, you may need to get someone to come in and inspect the system and make sure it is correctly installed.
That's pretty cool.
A certificate.
And I guess if you're someone who's looking to buy a van, bear that in mind to see if whoever's selling it to you does have a current certificate.
Yes, A brand new van should be fine, but a second-hand van, particularly an older one, now this is a regulation. You may choose to or not to follow that, but what it's supposed to do, this is what I've been reading on forums and on websites, is that the all vans sold second-hand must have a current certificate, and it lasts for only 3 months. So it's got to be done prior to selling it. Really? More than 3 months. Yeah.
Three months. Right. Like you say, a gas system in a caravan doesn't need maintenance, but a certificate of compliance lasts 3 months.
Well, it does if you're selling it. So you might have a caravan that's 20 years old and you don't really need a certificate for it. But if you sell it, you're supposed to have the certificate issued within 3 months of selling the van.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
Okay. I don't want to forget about your story, Kev.
Explosion story.
Explosion story.
Oh, yes.
So give us this is hopefully an eye-opener for some people, but I'm also quite interested. You started to tell me before and I said, save it for the episode.
It was quite an interesting thing. The van came into our workshop to be assessed by the manager for insurance, and it was a write-off, but it wasn't blown apart. Because he said, why is this in here? And he said, well, it had an explosion. So to look at the van initially, you would think there's nothing wrong. But as you got closer, you would realize that, first of all of the corner beadings had been pushed out from the inside, like someone had applied pressure to it. And you can actually see the timber frame under the beadings where everything had been pushed out. So the front and back walls were trying to expand around the corners, if you like.
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, look at that. And then as you got closer, you sort of thought, well, look at the blinds inside, the mesh curtains are all being melted. And it's like someone had gone around with a little blowtorch and done these little burn spots all around the cupboard doors and the walls.
That is insane. So an explosion
had occurred, and there were two people asleep in there at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
Through the night. And luckily they survived. They weren't badly injured. They had a bit of a sunburn on their face and lost their eyebrows and eyelashes and part of their hair.
Woken with a shock as well, I would think.
Oh, yeah. But I think what saved them was because it was a pop-top, the pop-top sleeve blew out and most of the blast went out through the pop-top sleeve. But the thing that caused the problem was that, and I don't know how this affected their insurance, but they had the bottom vent of their door taped up to stop dust from coming in. Now, propane is heavier than air. It will pool. It'll fall to the ground and pool unless it's disturbed by you walking around or a breeze. You won't smell it because it's all at the bottom. And the bottom of the van filled up with gas until it reached the pilot light of the stove, and that's when the explosion occurred.
Holy moly. These people were
very, very lucky. Yeah. They could have been killed and the van could have been blown to smithereens.
I'm just shocked that they they weren't killed before the explosion even happened from just carbon monoxide or just lack of oxygen.
That's true. But see, they had vents above them. So the carbon monoxide is lighter than air. That went out. But the gas pooled on the floor and actually filled up the stepwell. And as I said, it ultimately reached the firelight of the the fridge. It was on gas at the time, and off she went with a bang. But
that is crazy.
Quite unusual to see. But as I said, the van was written off, of course. But all these little thermites, as I said, from the distance, you wouldn't think anything would happen until you got up close and looked at it and you thought, oh, okay. And all the blankets and sheets had little, like, scorch marks and, like singed hairs on them. Jeez. So it was, would have been quite an interesting explosion, yeah.
So moral of the story is don't block up the vents in your van. They're there for a reason. Just cop a little bit of dust.
Yeah. I've seen people do it while traveling. I suppose that's okay. I don't really know. But if you're camping, you're stopping,
Make it part of your routine.
Untape
when you're traveling.
Some people put filters. I've seen people put filters in, like an air conditioner filter.
Oh, yeah.
To stop the dust from coming in, but still allows the air to flow out. So,
okay.
How legal that is, I don't know. But the whole thing is to allow those vents to breathe. That's most important.
I think I'd take a bit of dust over an explosion.
Yeah, I'd take dust over my life for sure.
That was awesome, Kev. Thanks. I was probably going to prompt a bunch of other questions from consumers that were going to go, damn, we didn't ask Kev during the episode. But but that's all good. We'll try and cover it in a future episode. But thanks for joining us again, Kev. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, no worries. Thank you very much.
See ya.
See ya.
That's it for another episode. Don't forget to subscribe via YouTube, favorite podcast app. And if you've got any questions on gas systems, jump on the Snowy's Facebook group. We're both, Laura and I will be there. Kev's not in there, I don't think, but
I don't know if he's on Facebook, but we'll get him on there.
We know where he works and we can get some answers from him. So
cool.
Let us know.
Catch you next week.
See you next time.